Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
And today's message is by our guest speaker, Reverend Casey Moffitt Cheney. So please welcome her.
Hi, everyone. Hi. I see familiar faces and people that I get to meet anew today. That's a good thing. Well, today's talk is titled... What happens is you get up here, you haven't done it for a long time, you think, what was I going to talk about? I know what I was going to talk about. It's called Navigating the Ether. Now, do you know what the ethers are? Okay, yeah. I think many of you who have known Ernest Holmes or have known... some of the other New Thought teachers and all, they talk about the ethers. And this is the ethers. You're looking at it. You're feeling it. You are becoming it. You are expressing it. The ethers is what this world is made up of. And the thing that powers the ethers is, anybody have a guess? Consciousness, God, love, all those things. And it moves them, and it moves the ethers into what we have made it to be for ourselves and our lives. And we learn that we do have some power in that. Ernest Holmes says it really well. I am guided by the same intelligence and inspired by the same imagination which scatters the moonbeams across the waves and holds the forces of nature in its grasp. Is there anybody here that does not in any way, shape, or form relate to that to some extent? I mean, it's like none of us are alone in this. We do this together. There is no one person, I don't care how powerful they are, I don't care what their title is, none of them have any more connection to God than you and I. And that's just the way it is. It's the way it works. It's the reality of this universe. Now, what do we do with that? We have to govern our lives by the things that we do and learn in the ethers. So a good example, I guess it's been 14 years ago, I was diagnosed with a really weird form of cancer. They said it was aggressive, it was fast, and they didn't really know too much about it because it was weird. In the words of my daughter-in-law, she said to the doctor, "Are you telling me my mother-in-law's weird?" Well, we already know that. So let's work with this. How do you go home with that information? You know, what do you do? Well, I don't know about you, but it scared the patooties out of me. My brother died of cancer. My father died of cancer. Several of my other relatives died of cancer. And... you know, I didn't want to hear that, honestly. It was tough. But I don't like the feeling of anxiety and fear and hopelessness. I don't like those feelings. And the reason I have those feelings is because my mind is telling me, this is bad. This is going to be your destruction. All the things that you go home to, there's really, you know, nobody can say anything positive at that moment. It just doesn't happen. It's like, thank you very much, appreciate your concern. Yeah. And that's what it feels like. I don't have tolerance for those kinds of negative feelings. Over the years, I've learned that those feelings make me feel so bad, I don't sleep, I don't eat. Well, that's not such a bad thing. I can't teach. It was hard for me to stand up on Sunday mornings in my church at the time and give a sermon every week that was in a positive place. I can't tolerate that in my life. So What do I go to? Over the years, I've come to an understanding that God and the communication that I have with God is utterly important to what I am facing in my life. And what that means to me is that one way or another, and that's an interesting thing to say because there are many other ways, but I am going to get past this. I am going to walk through this in some way. Now, it started with my belief system about God. So just for a moment, I'd like to invite you into my world, okay? This isn't saying this is your God, this is your communication. This is how I did it. The first thing I said to myself was, what do you believe about God, Casey? I believe God is all good, is in it for my benefit, one way or another, no matter what. And I have to look for it sometimes. And I don't always find it right away. But I really believe that. And the other thing is that I said to myself, somehow or another, God is going to show me how to walk through this in the easiest way possible. Now, note that I did not say, I believe God is going to heal me. Why? To me, that is not a consistent God. Think about this for just a moment. How many people, family members, pets, did I pray to God to save them? Right? How many times did it work? I have an abysmal record where if I'm going to look at God that way. So is it possible that that's not the way God works? I know this is kind of hard to take in maybe for some of you, but I finally came to the belief that God doesn't go around saving or rejecting people. That does not sound like a consistent God. God wants me to be able to learn. God wants me to be able to be successful in this life. And the way I do it is to recognize that I might be wrong about what I think God is capable of doing. So when you say, well, can God, you know, roll a boulder up a hill so big that he can't do it? That's an interesting question. But it's just possible that that's just not the way God works. So what I came to believe is that one way or the other, God was going to show me how to walk through this whole situation in a way that was going to be easier than if I did it rejecting God. That somehow or another, I'm going to find joy and comfort and some kind of health in this process. And when I said that, I thought, yeah, that's what I remember I've come to believe in my life. So I started looking out into the world and I started saying, some people want me to go down to California and eat this special grass for 3 months. And they said, that'll save you. And you know, at that point, when you're scared, you take everything seriously, and there's not anything that says that there isn't some seriousness to that. But for me, did it fit me? I looked at the life that I have walked in coming to believe all this with God, and I was able to say, that's not me. That doesn't feel right. God has placed me in this position, or I have somehow or another walked with God to this position where I am in my home, in my neighborhood, with the doctor that I have, with the things that are available to me. So here's the key. To follow God is to say, all right, God is communicating with me. And I am, in my own way, listening. Okay, there's a listening thing that has to go on with this. And I said, all right, what am I listening for? I'm going to listen for something that feels right. Because that's how God communicates with me. Over the years, I have learned this for myself. God communicates with me. Now, does God go, Casey? You know, it feels that way sometimes. But I remember saying to myself, no, I've got a doctor. I live in a certain house. I live in a place with people that I love, who love me, who are going to support me in whatever I choose to do. Therefore, I must be supposed to stay here because that's what feels right. Then it was, which doctor do I choose? I had a, you know, it was like going into Baskin Robbins, you know. For those of you, did I say that? 31 flavors? We all, okay. A lot of ice cream. A lot of things to look at and to want. I decided that it felt right to go with my doctor's suggestion because I really, really respected her. She was with me for a lot of years. And that felt like the right thing to do. So she sets me up with the oncologist that was right there in the clinic. And what ended up happening, interestingly enough, is that all of the doctors that I had to go to during that time were all in the same building. Now, did God make that easy? Let's do Bible for a moment. What does Jesus say? My yoke is
easy.
There it is. Okay. My yoke is easy. Well, doesn't that make sense? Wouldn't a loving God have a way to communicate with us that would be easy? Okay. So I thought, okay, what's the easy? Well, here I am. I'm in this building. And what was interesting is starting to go through, I went through chemo and radiation, everything you can possibly imagine they threw at me for this because they didn't know what else to do with it. It was interesting. And I ended up, when I went for my treatments, I had so much fun. My yoke is easy. You're going to have fun with this. God is going to see through to fun and contentment and hope and peace and joy. So I really truly believe that with all my heart. And when I walked in, I didn't even have to think about it. I just had a lot of fun. And there were some people there that were sitting and having their treatments, and they were really scared. And when they brought me, you know, the thing, the pole, what's that pole called? Anyway, the IV pole, right. When they brought me the IV pole, and there it was sitting there, and they said, okay, we're going to give you all this water, and you're going to have to go to the bathroom a million times, because it was an 8-hour treatment, the first one. And they had me, they put a little plug in, you know, what do you call those things?
Whatever.
That's a port, thank you. I knew if I just asked, you know. Michelle, you see. So you get this port. And so they had me hooked up to the port, and I was hooked up to the pole, and I looked at that, the thing that was in there that wasn't the water, you know. It was the stuff to be afraid of, right? And I don't know how to explain it to you. I just looked at it and started to talk. And I said, thank you, miracle juice. This is my miracle juice. I don't know how it came out of my mouth, but that's all I could think of. So then, of course, with all the water, I had to go to the bathroom all the time. So I get up. Now, all these other people are sitting there, and they're scared, and they're worried, and I'm sitting there laughing and having fun. I almost felt bad. But what I saw happen was people started laughing with me. And all of a sudden, I'm carrying this amazing joy into this place of non-joy. And I start going to the bathroom with this pole, and I thought, well, you know, my wife and I, we take ballroom dancing, and we've done that for a long time. So I thought, I can do this. So if you can imagine, I'm dancing all the way across the room to the bathrooms, and everybody's looking at me like, this is a real nutty, nutty person here. The thing I came to believe is that with God walking me through it, meaning listening to the guidance and asking myself if it feels right, it's got to be God. Knowing that, I knew that whether I had to walk into healing or I had to walk to my death, I knew that it would be much easier doing it this way. That's how I walk through things today. That's the way it works for me. So when something crazy comes up, I oftentimes have to sit down and relax and say, okay, what is the key here? What's the key? Now, how do you get to that point? That's what navigating the ethers is all about. It's all about realizing that you're actually walking around, think of yourself with your eyes closed, and the whole world, including yourself, is just one big fog. And you swim around in the fog. But what are we looking for? I look for the message that feels right. So I would like you to go with me for just a moment to a grocery store. Take yourself to the fruit stand, the fruit area. Whether you eat it or not, don't worry about it. You have the apples here, you have the oranges here. So I call this exercise apples and oranges. Isn't that creative? Feels right. So must be. And you're going to have a choice of picking out an apple for yourself or an orange for yourself. Now, I want you to think very, very carefully. Which one feels right? Look at the apples. Look at the oranges. There's going to be a feeling inside there. It's a sensation. So my communication with God is a sensation. Okay? It's not just a, you know, talk, and listen. It's a real sensation. And so when I had the opportunity to come here and speak, I thought, yeah, that feels really good. Are you sure? It's been a while. So today it's all about navigating the ethers. You navigate the ethers by asking the question and saying, I'm willing to hear it as a sensation. And if it feels right, it feels good, then we go that way. It's a great, let's do Bible. I don't know where I got that from. I used to take a Bible and let's do Bible, everybody. Because, you know, we didn't New Thought. The Bible is metaphysical to us, and we listen and we watch. Okay, so let's do Bible for just a moment. There was this group of people, and they had been told years before that by God to destroy all these other factions of human beings because they're gonna come and get you if you don't. In other words, I'm giving you the direction that you've got to get this out of your life. Now, if you read it as human beings, then you're missing the whole biblical point. You read it to me, I read it as all the negative things in my life that I need to get rid of. My anger, my fears, everything. Those are my enemies. And so this group of people are told to get rid of the enemy, and they don't. They say, well, no, we don't have to do that. God will take care of us. So here they are now. They're surrounded by the enemies that they were supposed to get rid of in the first place. And they're being attacked. And so they're standing at the top of this little mountainous area, and the leader, his name is Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat says, okay, God, now I'm the spokesperson here, and I need your help. And he's down on his knees, and he's just in prayer. And all of a sudden, this one little guy in the middle of the whole thing, he raises his hand. He says, message, I got a message. And everybody stops, the entire place. This guy was a little guy, so young. The whole place stops and stands and puts their attention on him. Why? I love the way the Bible does this. He's got credentials. Okay. His father was begat by that. And it's all fathers. You know, that's the way it works. We change that now. But you go all the way back thousands of years, and all of a sudden it says, and his father was a Levite. Ta-da-da-da. That means they were the priests. They had the connection to God. Therefore, he inherited that. So he knew that when he got a message, it meant something. And when he put his hand up and said, I got a message from Garcia, I kind of do things with the Bible sometimes, just don't worry about it. he says, we've got to listen to this guy. So he stands up and he says, okay, here's what the message is. Don't be afraid at this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Think about that. Do not fear this multitude, for the battle, the way to deal with it, is God's battle. And with that, he says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go down to where the little place is where they're going to come up and they're going to attack you. You're going to go straight down there, and you're going to stand still and watch the glory of the Lord on your behalf. Now, you know how many times I said that in that first cancer thing that I was going through? Stand still. You know what still means? Be calm. Be calm. And watch the glory of the Lord on your behalf. In other words, watch what the power of God can contribute to your life in the process of your dealing with this. To me, that's what it means to navigate the ethers. I'm navigating, and I don't have to do anything except be still. You've heard, be still and know that I am God? There's a lot of be stills in the Bible. Little things, right? And I like to go in there. Am I a cherry picker? You bet I am. I look for the things that connect with me. And some days it changes. But the whole point for me was to recognize that God is going to battle this for me some way or another, and I don't have to be wounded. I can walk through it in whichever way I do, and if I lose my life, it's because somehow or another, and the way I lose my life will be somehow or another a gentle way, a way to walk through. So that's the way I handled it. Now, did I come through it? I did. It's been, 12, 14 years now? Somewhere around there. I've lost track. That's nice. But it doesn't mean that I can't be scared again. Okay? It doesn't mean that I'm going to be left without this help. It means that I'm going to be scared. I'm going to go back into my belief system. I'm going to trust that one way or the other, God is going to do the battle for me, and I will not walk away from it wounded. That I'll be able to face whatever comes in a way that gives me power and courage. And I don't know about you, but I don't know what death is. I haven't figured that out yet. But what I do know is what I believe, and I think to myself, how come I feel like me and nobody else feels like me? I don't feel like anybody else. Can I relate to people? Sure. But relating to somebody is not having their same experience. So to me, my guess is one way or the other, dying is like rebirth. And I don't know what that means. I don't know how it works or if it's going to work, whatever. It just means to me that somehow or another I can do this. So what I'm going to do, I'd like you to go to your apples and oranges, okay? I'm going to tell you another quick story. Hopefully it's quick. When I was getting ready to go to college, I had two universities I wanted to go to. One was extremely expensive, and the scholarship that they were giving me wasn't going to cover anything my parents would be able to take care of. The second was a state school. Inexpensive, but a good school. Okay. So I decided no reason not to go with the state school. The state school is in the same city as my brother and sister-in-law lived in, and I would be able to stay with them through college, and I could have a lot of help. That would be really good. I knew my brother would be able to help me. And so I was really excited about it. I thought, it's during the summer, I'm working. Let's take a day off and go and visit the college and introduce myself, you know, do the thing that I do well. Say hi, tell them I appreciate them, you know, all that. Well, I got to the college, and they sent me up to the dean, and I went through this process of being introduced. Without having to say anything, all I can tell you is that I walked out of there feeling not just mortified, horrified, but absolutely hopeless. It was awful. I don't even have to go into detail. Just think, you know, the dean sitting at his desk with his feet up and a sock that had a hole in it and his toes. I mean, it just didn't seem like I was being cared for. As a student, as a new incoming student. And I didn't know what to do, and I was so, so horrified. And I walked out, and I was going to take the bus back to my home, and I see a telephone booth. Now, how many of you are old enough to remember telephone booths? Right. That's good. I feel not alone. I walked into the telephone booth, and now my parents were living in Portland. I was now in Los Angeles. And I called my mom and dad. You know what it's called when you don't pay for it yourself? Okay. It's called collect, yes. And I called them collect. And my mom answered the phone. And they had already told me there was no way they could put me through this other school. There was just no way. And I knew they wanted to, but they couldn't. And I said, Mom, I'm here at this school. I told her what was going on. I told her how I felt. It was just being honest. It was bare bones honesty. And I said, here I am, apples or oranges, but I didn't know that's what I was feeling at the time. And my mom said, without my even having to ask, she said, then we'll find a way to put you through the other school. What? It was insane. And they did it. They put me through the other school. And because they put me through the other school, I have the son that I have. Put two and two together. It's just that I didn't know I was doing it. I didn't know it was happening. God was guiding me. I was hearing it. I was feeling it. It was that sensation that this is what I need to do. And I didn't think it was going to help, but I stepped in. I made the call. And the result was amazing. And I remember thinking to myself back then, I've just discovered something and I'm not sure what. You know, you ever felt that way where you realize you get an answer in a way that you can't explain it? I didn't have any kind of spirituality at the time. It just wasn't there. But I said to myself, that's what it must feel like. Now, over the years, I came to understand that it happened more and more. I would have things happen to me, and one by one, those types of things would happen. Then you get to the place where you know it so well, then you start acting like people who really know what they're talking about and doing, and who become your teachers. There was a woman who used to be in Portland. She was a New Thought teacher. Her name was Carrie Arthur. Some of you may know who this is. She was, she lived, I believe, into her 90s here, and she was she was a perfect teacher for me. And it was after I was already in ministry, school, I was going through it, and I would have meetings with her, and at this, she would say things like, she'd say, there's no turbulence in the mind of God. That's how she would say it. She was talking about an airplane trip that she and her friends had taken, and the pilot came out and said, oh, we're going to have a lot of turbulence for the next half hour. And she just looked at her friends and said, there's no turbulence in the mind of God. And the plane didn't even hiccup. Now, did she have that kind of power? She knew what the truth was in this case. She could sense that nothing was going to happen in that respect. God's guidance always, always leads to the best path, to the best experience possible. And it's hard sometimes to believe that because, you know, we as humans have that ability to judge and to ascertain. Well, Carrie was able to ascertain no turbulence. Think of the turbulence that you're having in your life right now. Now it's time to go for apples and oranges. Should I have this person over for lunch? It's a yes or a no, or a wait. When my wife and I have opinions about different things we're going to do, buy this house or this car, whatever. Do we do it? Well, if both of us have a yes, it's a yes. If both of us have a no, it's a no. And if one of us has a yes and one of us has a no, it's a wait. Because if you wait for God, God will show up. That I've come to guarantee for myself. And I hope that you can guarantee that for yourselves as well. It's pretty amazing. So, with God's guidance and God's power being in the midst of all of this fog, go to that place where you're talking to God right now. This is where you get to say, God, you know what my situation is right now. You know what I'm facing. And you know how I feel about it and how scared I am. So to start easily, I'm going to look for one decision. Should I have soup for lunch today or salad? That's all it takes. And you'll get that answer. Because that's the simplicity. That's the way this works. You'll get the answer, and you'll take the step in that direction. And if anything at that moment should change where you say, that's not right, that doesn't feel right, then you go to what does feel right. That's as simple as it is to start the process of coming to understand the power of God in your life and the reality of God's answers. Things you never, ever thought would happen will materialize. And your life will then be a blessing, not just to yourself, but to everybody around you. Sometimes I make decisions that other people are not happy with. But if it feels right for me, then it's going to be right for them even if they don't know it yet. That became a very powerful mantra for me. So take a deep breath. Blow out whatever is facing you today. It's now in the ethers. And the ethers is where God's power is strongest. Say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Three times. Good. And so it is.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.